Narrow door, broad path. All of us know the frustration of taking the wrong path and ending up far from our desired destination. We find ourselves having to turn back around and set ourselves in the right direction. The same is true with our spiritual life. In too many cases, it seems easy to take a wrong turn, as Jesus tells us. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Many have taken offense at this particular statement, accusing Christians of being narrow-minded and intolerant of other people's views, arguing, "Why does Jesus have to be the only way? After all, I believe in God." What they really mean, though, is God is with a little g, any God, any time, any way. But Jesus' many sermons teach us a very different lesson, and a path he marks out is clear, one that Peter speaks of plainly. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. When put this way, we see that the path God maps out for salvation, an abundant life, and eternal life is only through Jesus Christ. But Satan wants to offer us other options, equal pathways that lead us to the same destination, he says. One is easy, filled with life's pleasures. The other is challenging, and the hills and valleys are often difficult to traverse. One is popular, and there are many traveling along that path that encourage us to join with them. The other has just as many travelers, but they may be struggling in the journey also and can't always pick us up when we stumble or lose our way. Besides, some may say, "Look how easy others have it. No claims on their time or resources, doing whatever they want, whenever they want. That sounds so great to me." Well, let's stop for a minute and just look at how great this is. King Solomon advises those who have rationalized their selfish decisions and their easy lifestyle. "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." He also warns against the lazy way, the way that says, "I'm entitled to lots of money with no work." To them, he says, a lazy person's way is blocked with thorns, but the path of the upright is an open highway. To those who say, "I want a life with sexual freedoms and no moral restraints," Solomon cautions, "Don't let your heart stray away toward her. Don't wander down her wayward path. Her house is the road to the grave. Her bedroom is the den of death." And in Ecclesiastes, Solomon warns not to wait too long in making a decision for God. "Remember him," he says, "before the door to life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades." Make your decision quickly and decisively, we're told, before it's too late, and we've missed out on all the great things God has planned for us. God's reality is there is only one way. His name is Jesus, and our gate to eternity is through him, our porter, who carries our burdens, our light to guide our way, and our repast to sustain us with living bread. Thus, we need to study our path carefully to ensure we're traveling on the right road. Some get confused by Jesus' words, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Some may say that God has made it too hard to keep on his path, but really that's not what Scripture says. For one thing, he makes the highway available, as we read in Isaiah 11. For another, he calls it a great road that travels through what was once a deserted land. He calls it the highway of holiness and assures us that evil-minded people will never travel on it. It's only for those who walk in God's ways, and fools will never walk there. That sounds like a clear path to me and a beautiful one. For God says, "I will make my mountains into level paths for them. The highways will be raised above the valleys." That sounds like a path I want to travel on, one that God has already smoothed out. How do I know this? He has commanded that his highway be prepared for his people to return, that the roadway is smoothed out and the boulders are pulled up and a flag raised that all can see the way. Why has he done all this? Because our Savior is coming. He's bringing his reward with him when he comes. So what's the problem then? Well, according to Jeremiah, some aren't looking at the map. My people aren't so reliable, he says, for they have deserted me. They burn incense to worthless idols. They have stumbled off the ancient highways and walk in muddy paths. Others have refused to listen to the warnings that are clearly posted. Think about the advice God gave Cain when he became angry and resentful that his flawed and faithless offering wasn't received. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Ungrateful, Cain refused to listen, killed his brother, and then whined when God sent him away. What then are we to do? We are to listen, to learn, and to live. Jesus says clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says again, I am the gate or door for the sheep. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. One commentator explains that in the Bible, doors are metaphors for the choices we make every day. Some we can walk through, others we should not. But every time we see a door, we need to make a decision, and our destinies are shaped by which doors we walk past and which doors we walk through. On his way to Jerusalem in his crucifixion, Jesus instructed the crowds who followed him, those who longed for miraculous healing or free food, and he told them, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. Jesus knew what he was ahead of him. He knew the rejection and abandonment, suffering and death. He knew his closest friends would desert him, and the very crowds who sat under his teaching and asked for his help would shout for his death. Thus he told them, the Christian life isn't easier for the faint of heart. You have to be willing to be the faithful farmer, the tireless athlete, and the well-armed soldier. As Paul explains to his spiritual son, Timothy, we have to work hard so we can present ourselves to God and receive his approval. We need to be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. And then he promises that the doors that he opens, no one can shut. He sends out his healing word and snatches us from the door of death. And when we're confused or alone, he stands at our door and knocks, asking to come in and share our meal together as friends. When the storms of life threaten, he helps us build a boat of refuge and then seals us into a place of safety. When we seem to be living in a dry and thirsty land, he commands the doors of heaven to open and gives us rain. He encourages us to create a private place of prayer and tells us to keep on praying, knocking so he can open that door. And then when all seems lost, he does. He opens those locked doors and he sets us free. And he opens doors for ministry. Thus, beloved, do you see? God opens these doors for us. He leads us to the door that's Jesus, and then he walks us into his glorious future. For with him, our streets can be paved with gold and the gates before us a single pearl. That can be our lives if we follow him. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.